A number of Sundays ago, I met with a few of our youth who are moving through the Religion in Life program here. Do you know what that is, Religion in Life? It's a homegrown program that has become Unitarian Universalist Association-wide recognized. Charlie Groth, I believe, was the originator of this. It's basically Girl Scouts for our young girls here, Unitarian Universalism specific. And I met with these two young girls, young women, who are engaging in a conversation about prayer and meditation. And they were looking to me to inform them of what this means, what it looks like, and how I go about these two practices. I've been thinking more and more about this conversation, not only because I wished it had been held during this hour of worship for each of us to explore together, but also because Thanksgiving is approaching. And I don't know about your families, but this seems to be the time in mine where all of a sudden, my mother and father are here today, they can attest to this, that we begin to pray out loud. And maybe not pray, that's probably not the word they would use, but we like to grace out loud, if I can make a verb of that. Every year at Thanksgiving or Christmas or just times of gathering together, my mother pulls from her collection of fitting words for just the occasion that finds us seated at the table with one another. Now, not surprising, because I love words and rituals and time with others, I love this. It's mostly, though, for the pause it allows for. My family could be an interfaith gathering, Catholics and Jews and Unitarians and secular atheists, vegetarians and gluten-free and waiting the turkey and bready stuffing and children unable to sit for the meal and elders unsure of the relationships before them. This is like your Thanksgiving too, right? It's a beautiful and modern sight. How could we not pause first? Take one more beat before we lose sight of the wonder of our gathering. And yet I say all of this and also want to admit that it can feel a little funny to grace out loud, having not practiced it throughout the year. The other day I was, Tara and Tobias and I, we were at McCaffrey's eating dinner, and there were these two older teenage girls eating next to us. They brought their food upstairs. If you know where McCaffrey's is in Yardley, get your food downstairs, you bring it up there. And they put their food down, and they both became so still and quiet, and they looked down, and I thought, oh, they're praying. And this has been on my mind. I had written my sermon, so of course this is what I saw. I looked a little bit closer. They both were texting. So we're not always in the practice of gracing out loud, even in the times that we think we are seeing it or that we ought to. I was taught to pray in seminary, primarily by reading the often distraught but poetic rantings of the prophets found in the Hebrew Bible. As deranged as these teachers and soothsayers were said to be, they followed a specific formula, somehow wrote within their speech and spirits. Here's how it goes. First and foremost, this is my favorite, a time for wailing. Let it all out. Irrational or justified, it doesn't matter. Name the thing for which you have grief. The loss of a loved one, the destruction of your city, the injustice from traffic stops to elementary schools as targets. Speak the grief not only without judgment, but into an expectation of listening. And then when you come around to it, exhausted by the honest release, the spitting of upset, the begging of want or need, remind yourself to address that which you speak. God or spirit, universe or nothing. A quick aside. This is the funny, this is the inviting thing about prayer today. Why must it be that this practice requires a belief in God? Have we not learned the sacred practice of naming what is on our hearts? And the way the clenched body, the flurried brain, the anxious spirit seems to soften with possibility once we've said some honest thing about our lives. After that something honest has been heard, held, cared for, considered by another, I beg that we not get stuck on titles and previous teachers and judgment of words in this conversation today. As my friend and colleague Ashley Horan asks, what is sacred to you? What is most worthy of your love, allegiance, commitment, praise? Name that. Where do you perceive joy and beauty in yourself, in the world? How do you name and affirm the existence of that beauty and joy? Address this. But back to the formula. Now that you've reminded yourself, against the odds of our American upbringing, that perhaps we are not alone, the human holding, the sacred exchange, it's time to widen the circle just a bit, safely, of course. Head off the couch cushion, but tired body still splayed out. The dog has found a bone to chew, a life outside of your anguish. You can see through the window the mail carrier stretching over the pile of leaves to give you your mail into your mailbox. And you catch yourself wondering if it's only the bills or that package you ordered. The circle, the perspective against your will widens. And as if by some balm, you begin to feel yourself soften. And you realize maybe, I guess we're not all perfect. This is the time for confession, a word I know we don't like, but it is a time, if not of texture, a time to name a regret, the want for repair. It's the realization of our interdependence and the dance of relationship, which calls you once again to name something you've forgotten to this point, the thanksgiving. For whatever you can find, for whatever small thing you know to be true, the soft animal who has come closer to you, the one you swear understands. The routine of work and the things for which you can count on, mail, bills, some normalcy still, even this we give thanks for some days. But also the constant gifts that make it possible for you to live your specific life. The relationships, the resources, the conditions we may have forgotten about when we started this whole thing. And this is where we come to the end. And I promise, once we move through this whole practice, we are breathing differently, deeper, because this is the time for letting go, a surrender of control that allows for some creative hope. What are your wildest, least rational dreams and aspirations, your simplest wishes? It's time to name those before we get to the amen. So I'll give you an example of this. And then I'll just tell you now, I'm going to ask that we do this together. So try to listen while you hold that anxiety too. I might say, I was not, am not, prepared to raise a child or children in a world where churches and schools and malls and movies are places of terror or terrorism, where nuclear war is a hashtag, where the phrase known secrets is without irony. I am tired, and those I love are tired. And how is it that no one has made a better vegetarian turkey? Why doesn't my child sleep? Why does he only eat carbs and cheese? Why can't that infamous aunt just stay off Facebook? I can't believe the traffic that we will have to sit through in a few days. I can't believe how many of those I love will be without those they love in a few days. Beautiful and holy, remind me of how I have known you. This world is also gentle and kind. Just listen to those leaves, find one another again as they drop to the ground. The child is only two. The world is filled with fear. I am not without fear myself, not without weapons myself. I've kept secrets we all know. I will be with those I love in a few days. And so I give thanks. for life unfolding and for which I am responsible to help grow. For time, extra time, extra time in the wee hours of the morning, for time is so limited and unjustly quick. I give thanks for the forgiveness of others who know when I am out of words but choose to speak anyway. For the rallying cries that seem superfluous against a constant crime, but it is not silence. May we be safe as we travel this week, in body or spirit or heart, and may the same be fed. And may I be willing to be surprised even by that aunt as she gathers with those she loves and as her heart opens. You ready? Okay. So, the season of gracing out loud. I want you, all of us, to just shout out like we did for the story of all ages, and I want you to tell me as bravely as you can something that you are wailing about, just a word or a phrase. And I ask that, as always, we do so with the inherent worth in mind and with the political plurality of this congregation in mind. Inequality. Say it again, Helen. The assault on truth. Violence. Mary? Hate. Perpetual angst. Wastefulness. The assault on the environment. Holly, what did you say? Assault on animals. And Nina? Aggressive drivers. Yes, may we all wail against aggressive drivers. Being away from family. Sickness. Lack of gratefulness. So we could stay here, right? But what is it that we are addressing? What is it that's sacred? What is most worthy of our love, allegiance, commitment, praise? Where do you perceive joy and beauty in yourself or in the world? Name that now.
Nature.
Nature.
And young
children. Family and young children.
Friendship.
Friendship and connection.
Intercultural sharing.
Abundant food,
the universe,
the potential of young adults,
pets,
generosity.
Howard Bennett,
old scotch. This church and laughter. So let's pause here for a second. You can hear it forming. There is assault on the world, in the world, violence, drivers. It comes out of us in these different ways, toward different things, to that which we are connected. And yet we are connected. There is family and young children and bombs of different kinds. Let's keep going. We are not without participation. This world didn't just happen. We have been a part of it too. So how might we wish to be a part of that repair? Is there something that we would bravely lift up that we hope our regret is heard and held?
Judgment.
How about not open-heartedness? This isn't the positive part.
Not
not being open to change. What's that? Being dogmatic. Having a culture of scarcity.
Impatience.
There is an assault in this world, and we take it out in our driving. There is violence and fear. The world is depleted, we are depleted, we are tired, and yet we are connected to that great connection of which we are a part. We are a part of this connection. We have been impatient and we have been judgmental and we have resisted change. And yet we give thanks. What do we give thanks for? Family. Life, is that what you said, Howard? Health.
Resilience.
Community and kindness. The ability to gather to make the meal. Is that what you said, Nina? No. Forgiveness. Spontaneous generosity. And yet there are so many things. We have been all of these things. We have participated in things for which we could wail. And yet there is family and health and forgiveness even amidst this. And yet we can gather together and we will have food even amidst this. There is kindness and gentleness and open-heartedness even amidst this. So tell me now about your hope before we get to the amen. We hope for peace.
Racial justice.
Respectful dialogue. Economic equality.
Diversity.
Loving. Environment,
patience,
aspiring leadership, inspiring or aspiring? Inspiring, both, I hear. One more?
Understanding
and reconciliation. It is these that we lift up. It is these that we are a part of making, naming, being, but above all, recognizing so that we may make true. Amen.
Amen.
I've just got a few more words for you, and that is a quick reminder that for the last three Sundays in which we've taken on this theme of abundance between Sue and me and next week Charles, without any sort of formalized plan, we've sought to remind one another of the things for which we must or might give thanks. So today I want to remind us that sometimes that takes practice. Sometimes it takes discipline of the heart, of the mind, of the spirit, and a formula helps. Especially one that expects listening, opens itself to grief of otherwise unnamed things, a naming that reminds us that we must first move through that which makes our hearts wounded or hard before we can see the good stuff sometimes, the abundance of good stuff that calls us to gratitude. So this Thursday, I invite you to grace out loud. Find a collection of someone else's words if you don't trust your own, but I assure you, you've each got a prayer within of your own. Before you take a bite, take a beat. Take a pause, check in with your heart, and land on Thanksgiving. Land on some irrational hope for the world, for our country, for the table of people with whom you share some brief miracle of a moment in the large arc of time. With thanks and recognizing this time is sacred in and of itself. Blessed be, and yes, amen.